Two readings this morning. One is from Acts 1, and the second one is from John 7. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then John 7. Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles. We read in John 7 verse 1, and then on John 7 verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, last week, Arwen quoted some of the promises that we made at the end of the frontline course. I'm going to start by quoting some more of those too. We said, "May the Holy Spirit guide us. May we learn to rely on God, his power, his love, and his grace." And I prayed, "May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you." So today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So maybe a disappointment that we're not having a baptism by water, but perhaps we might be baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's a phrase that comes up in the Bible, and a phrase that there is some controversy around, a little bit of controversy around as well. So it's good to try and engage with this, perhaps try and clear it up a bit as well. Now, you'll find different views from Christians about this, and that's okay. But if we consider ourselves to have a faith that is based on the Bible, then this is a significant topic. So we need to engage with it, we need to wrestle with it, we need to consider it. Baptized means immersed, completely soaked. When was the last time you were completely soaked? Well, I can certainly speak for my right leg as we walked along the pier yesterday. So we were walking, we managed to get to the end of the pier in the dry, and we thought, ha-ha, that was sneaky, we've missed the bad weather, only to be, as it lashed down whilst we were there in the pier, at the end of the pier, and then we thought we've beaten it and started to walk back. And so then it came. It's first of all, it was sort of vertical, and then by the time we got about halfway, it was about 45 degrees, and then Lisa, bless her, walking slowly with her crutches, trying not to slip on the on the wood, and I was stood next to her as her human shield, as the sleet came in at 90 degrees. Soaked completely to the skin. To be baptized is to be soaked and immersed in a good way. It was a bit chilly to be soaked like that. But maybe you remember what it feels like to be completely immersed. Maybe in a swimming pool or in a bath. Or maybe somebody emptied a bucket of water over you. When you were a kid, we used to enjoy water fights when I was a kid, and maybe in a warmer climb, but you remember just getting completely soaked. That's what Jesus says we need when we're coming to think about the Holy Spirit. Quite a challenge, isn't it? Quite a challenge. We're sort of a bit tentative, aren't we? Jesus says, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And some people say that, well, this can only happen at a particular moment, and that you're baptized by immersion, and then you're baptized by the Spirit, and that's how it happens. And I wouldn't go along with that. Using the Bible as our plumb line, we see that people are baptized by the Spirit first, in one occasion in Acts 10, and then the apostles recognize that they've been baptized by the Spirit, and so then they say, well, who can stop them being baptized in water? So, and some people are baptized by the Spirit at their baptism. We would always pray for someone to be filled with the Holy Spirit when we baptize them. And it's a significant moment spiritually for that person. And many people would say that they feel the Holy Spirit in a really special way at that time. So let's dive in. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. We read, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And Jesus says that all of these are valuable. It's Paul speaking here by the Spirit of Jesus. In Corinth, they'd got caught up with the dramatic gifts, but they'd forgotten how to value everybody equally. They'd forgotten about love. In chapter 13, Paul says, you might be a clanging gong. You're like a banging cymbal. We need love. And the spirits, the gifts of the Spirit are for the common good. They're to serve the church. Paul even talks about a spiritual gift of administration, spiritual gifts of leadership, spiritual gifts of helping others. Amazing gifts that make a practical difference. Boy, do we need people with the spiritual gift of administration. If you don't have that gift, like me, then you realize how important it is that someone else can help you in that space. It's really important. And we should all exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. So whilst we some people have different gifts by the Spirit, we should all exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, you are a part of the body of Christ. This is verse 27. Each one of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then those working miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work in miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, Paul says. And he goes on to say that when you're making sense, that's the greatest gift. That's when you can bless the church as a great gift. Paul also says, I wish you all spoke in tongues as I do. You know, we can be very quick to despise the work of the Holy Spirit. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. So, speaking in tongues then. Paul says that when someone speaks in a tongue, in a, in a, in a public assembly, it's going to be different. There's going to be like a pause. Someone will speak. It might be like the church would be invited to open prayer, and then someone would speak in a tongue, and then somebody else would give an interpretation. Because in Corinth, it was chaos. Chaos was reigning, and there was no intelligible help coming in teaching from the assembly. Paul says you need patterns of prayer. But Paul also says that in private worship, this has hugely blessed him. This gift has blessed him as well. And we can see a tongue is given, and then there's a prophecy, there's an interpretation given, or for when someone's praying on their own, that they might just be blessed by speaking in tongues. So what does that look like? It all sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Well, for me, it never really happened for a long time. Never really happened. I kind of tried a couple of times. I went up at the end of a service, and I'd gone on the Alpha course as a helper on the Holy Spirit away day, and sort of at the end, and then sort of tried, maybe experiment a little bit, but it just didn't really seem to happen, or I felt like I was forcing it, or I felt like I was making it up. So it wasn't really going. And I thought, that's okay, it does say it's not for everybody. That's okay. And then on the second year of my sort of ministry course, when I was studying sort of later in life, I was thinking about this, and we were doing this module on spirituality, and I thought, well, okay, let's put some, apply some thinking to this. but really, of course, speaking in tongues, if you've got like right brain and left brain, your left brain is supposed to be like the methodical, analytical bit, isn't it? And your right brain is supposed to be your creative bit. I thought, well, I'm quite creative. I sort of play a musical instrument. So why am I struggling in this space? And then as I was doing that course and just thinking about these things, I just read about someone who'd just taken some time to sit away on their own, rather than it being in a meeting or an event. And I just took some time to sit on my own up a hill near our house. And in the stillness, I prayed that God would give me some syllables to utter. And there it was. I don't think it's like for public use, really. I don't think it would bless you hugely. But it was something that was precious to me, because I'd worked it out with God. And in his presence, I felt it was like I didn't need proper words or even properly created music, nicely organized, to express myself to God. And that was how I felt. And it was like almost me humbling myself to say I don't need to create something good and that has come from something that I've made. And in that humbling of myself, rather than trying to offer something I could be proud of, I was able to connect with God. And that was my story. That was my journey. And it wasn't the most significant part of my Christian journey. That most doubtlessly was when I actually managed to sort out praying every day, having a quiet time and reading my Bible every day. That is the thing that transformed my Christian life, no doubt. But this did. It was part of my journey. But for you, it might inspire you to pray more. It might inspire you to go deeper with God. We're encouraged to consider the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, it is good. And it says in the Bible, don't despise the Spirit and do not quench the Spirit. If you hear someone else in that journey, don't quench the Spirit. Encourage. Let's tread carefully with one another here. And I've been blessed over the years as people have prayed for me and they've spoken tongues at meetings or conferences. Or when a tongue's been given and someone else has interpreted, it's been part of God's unfolding plan in my life. So let's encourage and build one another up And accept that the Holy Spirit comes to different people in different times and in different ways and for different purposes. Let's not judge one another. But let's nurture any gift that you're given. Maybe you feel that God gives you a picture of something that you can then share. That picture might mean something to someone else. God might place a verse from the Bible in your mind. And you might then share that verse and someone will say, "That was for me. You said that for me. God spoke to me when you gave that verse." A word of knowledge. And you think God might be saying. And we tread carefully, we tread gently. We always encourage people to test what we say. This is a space, and harm has been done. Maybe you have had harm done to you over the years in this space. I'm sorry if harm has been done to you in this space, but don't quench the Spirit. Reach out and trust God. He wants to bless you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to speak to us. We have a God that connects with us, and we can connect with him. And this, the Bible says, is one of the ways that that happens. Jesus promised this gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to press into it. It's a few slides. I think I've probably done most of them, actually. But if we could have those up, we'll just skip a couple. Don't worry, we've got another session on this in a few weeks' time. So what we don't cover today will happen later. So we've done when. You will receive power. Yeah, so what's the point? Well, actually, we've been talking, haven't we, about people talking about being burnt out. Maybe this morning you're thinking, "Oh, I just can't handle anything else different." We've had so much change to cope with. Coping with change is exhausting. Emotional change, change in procedure, change in expectations. We need God's Holy Spirit. The Bible talks us about go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you were filled with the Holy Spirit a few years ago. Maybe you were filled with the Holy Spirit yesterday. But as we give out, we know that we then need to be refilled. And it was on that same Alpha Holy Spirit Away Day that the vicar, the minister, he at the end said, "Right, okay, team, everyone's gone. Now I'm going to pray for you. And that you will be refilled to fill that which you've given out. Because you need the Holy Spirit." And then he said, and then after that, he said, "I want you to pray for me," he said. Because I have given out, and I know that I need God's Holy Spirit. And then he lied down on the floor for a little while after that. He'd given out a lot. Yeah. And he received the Holy Spirit. Or maybe for you, this is just all a bit new. I remember the first time that I was about 13 years old, I was a bit skeptical about all of this kind of stuff, you know. You have to be skeptical, it's good, and assess things. And there was a guy who'd come to the church who was known for being a bit more charismatic. Then it was an evening service, and there I was at the back, on the back pew, row of pews. And I thought, well, okay, I can sit here and just see how this goes and maybe kind of, you know, dip in, maybe, see how that looks, see what that looks like, maybe, put my hand up, maybe, we'll see how that might go. And it seems to work for other people, so maybe we could see what that looks like. And then as I'm sat there, the cool guy from the youth group comes and sits on the pew opposite. Oh, I thought, oh, no, my plan is foiled. I can no longer sneakily investigate and not be seen as to what might happen and put my hand in the air. And then It went through, and I heard some of what he said, but all I could really think about is, are you going to put your hand up at the end, or are you going to chicken out because he's going to see you? And that was the overriding narrative for the whole of the evening for me. Fear of being mocked. And I knew I'd chickened out on previous occasions. And for me, it was important. I'm not saying everyone has to put their hands in the air, but for me, it had become a bit of a blocker. And it was the last song. And I decided to go for it. There it was. There it was. And once you've done it, you think, oh, that's it. Okay, that was it. And then afterwards, the guy did say, Doug, he comes up to me and say, you seem to be getting into it a bit there, John. And I thought, here we go. But that was it. That was it. That was it. I did sense something of release in the same way that others might do as they might dance in worship, or as they might move, or as they might raise their hands. For me, it became a blocker. It was a choice to prefer God and to risk being humiliated. John Wesley, back in May 1738, was a minister. He was frustrated. He didn't seem to have any emotional connection in his faith. Other people who'd been Christians for a much shorter time and hadn't studied half as much as he had, hadn't done half the things that he'd done, seemed to have this emotional connection with God that he didn't have. And then he writes in his journal, as someone was reading from Luther's preface to the letter to the Romans, someone was reading from a commentary. I mean, really? Okay. About 8:45 p.m., while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. Writes John Wesley. I felt I did trust in Christ. Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. From that point, John Wesley went on to explore this connection with God, this strange warming that was a significant part of the Methodist revival in the late 1700s. You will receive power. You will receive power. And we read, don't we, in John 37 about Jesus with this living water. Perhaps for us, we're feeling a bit worn out. We're feeling tired, exhausted. Morris writes this, Leon Morris. On the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, this is where Jesus was, a priest drew water from the pool of Siloam in a golden flagon and brought it with procession to the temple with the joyful sounding of the trumpet. The water was then poured into a bowl beside the altar, from which a tube took it to the base of the altar. And this was a ceremony giving thanks for God's faithfulness in providing water from the rock in the wilderness, and then the going on to giving of rain. And it was also a prayer for rain for the coming year. And it was the last day and the last feast of the calendar year. And in the Mishnah, which is another Jewish writing, it says this: he that has never seen the joy of the water drawing has never in his life seen joy. For those people in that culture, this was a high point in their journey. Jesus was part of that culture. Jesus is there, and he stands and says, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit. God wants to replenish you. God wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And in a minute, we're going to have some songs that help us reach out in that kind of space. So maybe for you, it's something you've never done before. You want to invite God to come and connect with Him. Or for maybe you want to push out further into that stream, into that river. We have that picture from Ezekiel, don't we? As Ezekiel goes deeper and deeper into the spirit of the water of God. Or perhaps today it's time to ask God to baptize you with His Holy Spirit. To receive all that God wants for you in your life. And to be completely filled with Him, with His love, with His purpose, and with His presence. Allow to lay your life completely in God's hands.